The title of tonight is Covenant People Behave Themselves Wisely. Amen. For many, including me, it's a process. The study this week, David got it right, practically on every occasion, and I think, wow. But let's be encouraged, even David failed. But our God is a restorer, and I'm so glad he is. He's the great restorer. It's never, you've missed it, you're out. The mercy of God is just beyond our understanding, but I thank him for it. But tonight, learning to behave wisely is something that God takes us through different processes to achieve. And I'm glad that he does. I'm glad he never gives up on us. But he looks at the end result. So I'm not going to read 1 Samuel 18, but the whole of tonight's study is based on 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're starting with Saul. David had conquered Goliath and the Philistines had fled. David was extremely popular. Saul, not so much. And so to further his own agenda, Saul took David into his own household. I've seen that many times. It's a very popular thing to do in church, isn't it? If we want the church to grow, we'll bring somebody in that's popular. We'll invite a man to lead us who's got a name for himself. Well, let me tell you this, God's not interested in people with names who've made names for themselves. We're all in a process. It's about body ministry. It's about being led by the Spirit. It's about having leadership who are sensitive to the Spirit and can lead us in to that dimension, because that's what the Church of Jesus Christ is all about. But although Saul invited David into his own household, God used it to establish and strengthen the covenant between Jonathan and David. God always has an answer, and he will not allow the devil to use him or to use his children. He turns curses into blessings, and he turns bad into good as we follow his leading. During this time, David became accepted by them, all the men of war, all Saul's men, and his household. And how had he done it? He'd done it by behaving himself wisely. This came to me as I was reading it. David didn't use his position as a platform to badmouth or criticise Saul. He was an honourable man, and he knew what it was to esteem others better than himself, to look for the good in people, to be number two. He didn't mind being number two. He had nothing to prove. And so he was quite happy to promote Saul and to work hard as Saul led the way. But again, we see that to further his own agenda, Saul set David over the armies. And David, being a covenant man, he understood he was there to represent Saul and not himself. And David, wherever he went, Saul sent him. David didn't do anything. He never did his own thing. He always waited to be commanded by the man in charge. And I think that's a lesson even for us as Christians. Never do anything without you're commanded by God. Without you know what God is saying on this. I've seen so many Christians fall flat on their face and come up hurt because they've had a whim or a fancy, something's upset them, their emotions are moving them, instead of waiting for God's command. We all need to be led by the Spirit of God. Then we'll get it right. We'll be in the right place, and God will be able to do what he wants to do in our lives. So covenant people understand authority and are united with the vision of those in leadership. I thank God we've had our men and women come in with their own agenda, and it really is obvious, and they stand out like a sore thumb. But they are not the people, they are not covenant people, they are there for their own gain. And God is saying, it's not about you, it's about Him. It's about following the Spirit of God. And it's not something that is self-serving. Covenant is not self-serving. Covenant always brings glory to God. And it promotes the Lord and others. David never sought to draw attention to himself. And here we have another principle, that covenant people are not selfish, but will seek to do what is best for others. They are servants, even at their own expense, very much so. And I thank God I see many amongst us who have that, that lifestyle. They want to serve because they know that it's God who raises people up, but He looks for faithfulness. He looks for humility, and this is what God is doing. Covenant people are not jealous of others who succeed. We all know that Saul was the most jealous person imaginable. He was self-serving. He was a religious tyrant, and religion always seeks to promote itself, always. And again, we've seen that many times. It's very self-serving. It's all about me. But God has not called us to be religious. He's called us to be covenant brothers and sisters, to one another and to the Lord, to be in covenant and putting Him first in everything. We see that the battle between David and Saul commenced when the people were celebrating the victory that David and the men had. And they were going through the parading round the streets, and they were singing, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000. And Saul heard it, and wow, 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 did that become an obsession. He was going to destroy David, come what may. He was not having somebody usurping him, so he thought, and taking the attention from Saul. Saul was determined that was not going to happen. But you know what? Always Saul became utterly consumed with destroying David. And there's another tremendous lesson here. In the process, he didn't destroy David. He destroyed himself. And that's what the devil's process is all about. He wants to destroy you by any means possible. Revenge, unforgiveness, insecurity, suspicion, and jealousy will all cause us to self-destruct. And that's what the devil is after. We need to be wise. Covenant people behave themselves wisely. And we need to have our eyes opened, Lord, to the truth, that we don't fall into these traps. It's very easily, seems to be a world attitude at the minute, but it's not a covenant attitude. So it's time for us to mature, to bring healing in broken relationships, to support others and to have trust in others, even if they've let you down. Put all these things aside, and God is saying, I give you people second chances and third chances and more, and that's what God wants for us to do with one another. To always look for the best and to bring healing wherever there has been separation. When God, I can be secure, I know I am secure, because when God has placed me somewhere, no man, no woman, no demon in hell can ever get me out. When God appoints, the devil cannot remove you. So when God puts you to a position, you are qualified to be there, and we should be in absolute peace and security. We know later on in David's life, Solomon tried to get David off the throne. David's attitude was what I've just been saying. Well, God's put me here, He'll keep me here. And no man, not even my son, will remove me. So we see again, David behaved himself wisely in all of this. We've said before, and I'll say it again, religion is political. It looks for hirelings. not covenant servants, people who it can hire to do a job for the people who have hired them. It's like they take the concepts of the world, we pay you, we hire you because you can achieve something for the company. No, that's not the way God works. God's saying, I want covenant men and women. Men who come here because they're called here. Men who have a passion. They have a covenant. But they are interested in real relationships, not masks. They want to be real, and all of us need to be real. And that means, hey, sometimes the warts show up and we look a mess. But so be it. God wants real relationships. He doesn't want religious people who only build relationships for their own temporary purpose and later discard them like paper cups. Well, we've used you. We've got out of you what we want now. You can just go on your way. That is not anything to do with covenant or God's kingdom. I love that scripture. A man's gift makes room for him and takes him before great men. Proverbs chapter 18, if you want to make a note. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 16. A man's gift makes room for him and takes him before great men. God appoints and removes kings and those in authority. So relax. God's got everything in control. He knows what he's doing. Trust him. Just focus on your relationship with him and he'll see to the rest. Put God first. See, we're back to Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God will take care of everything that comes up. When God gives a vision, and it's something I've learned recently, when God gives a vision, he comes along with it, comes the ability, the gifting to fulfill it. You never do anything in your own strength. When you can say, and I stand here and I say, God, I never saw myself doing this. And God's saying, I've put you there. I'll gift you. I'll give you the gifting to do it. It might be a little bit awkward at times, but hey, bear with me. God puts you in the place. He doesn't want us to promote ourselves. He will give us the gifting. And so we need to wait for God to do the promoting. And then we know we're on the right road. We know that on two occasions, Saul sought to kill David with a javelin. But David escaped out of his hand. Wow. You know, despite this, David never allowed bitterness to take root in his spirit. That was a challenge and a half, wasn't it? And neither did he pull the javelin out of the wall and throw it back at Saul, because I'm sure he wouldn't have missed. He was a good warrior. He didn't miss. He knew how to throw stones, but he said, no, I'm not throwing stones. That's not the right way. That's the enemy's way. God will vindicate. I will do what God tells me to do. I will not be bitter. I will forgive. And I will not let bitterness take root in me. And God is looking for fruit above gifting. Gifts can be taught, but fruit has to be developed. It's process. And this is from experience. To achieve this, God will put you through challenging circumstances. Don't allow worms to eat your fruit. What are those worms? Bitterness, resentment, revenge. They'll eat away at you and utterly destroy you. Don't ever let that happen. Be wise and see what God is trying to do. Respond to God and don't react to circumstances. Another ploy of Saul's, in an effort to keep David under scrutiny, he offered David his eldest daughter, Merab, as his wife. But David, being a humble man, said, well, I'm not worthy to become the son-in-law of the king. So Saul sent David away to battle, hoping that he might be killed. Oh, dear me. He never got his wish. While David was away, Saul gave Merab to to another man, to a man called Adriel. When David returned and witnessed what Saul had done, he didn't avenge himself. He remained faithful and he followed God's leading because he behaved himself wisely. There, another challenge. You think we go through challenges, but David was, he went through many that I wouldn't want to go through. But hey, he was being trained for reigning. He was being trained to be king of Israel. That was an important role, and there were some tough challenges that went with it. A second time, Saul sought to kill David when his daughter, Michal, fell in love with David, not for what who he was, but for what he'd achieved. She liked his popularity. So she asked if they could get married. And again, David said he wasn't worthy. So Saul set David a challenge to bring him proof of having killed 100 Philistines in exchange for his daughter Michal. Well, this appealed to David because he could do something to earn it. So he could prove himself here. So he took the challenge and off he went. Well, the word of God says in 1 Samuel 18 and verse 14 that in everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. So he didn't come back with proof of 100 Philistines that he'd killed. He came back with proof of 200 Philistines that he had killed. God made sure he had great success in everything that he did. I remember years ago when God first called Andrew. Andrew was saying, God, have I got this right? Is this what you want me to do? And that was the scripture God gave him. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And let me tell you here and now, that doesn't stop you going through the challenges. That doesn't stop everything looking contrary to what God said. It's another challenge, and we have to look at what God says and never at what's happening. Again, Saul became incensed with jealousy, and in verse 28 of 1 Samuel 18 it said, and Saul was yet more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. Saul did not behave himself wisely. He fell foul of the process, and eventually we know that he did self-destruct. And what is admirable of David, the more Saul uses and abuses David, the more David submits and remains faithful. He will not betray Saul. And I admire David because even up to Saul's death, that was his attitude. He wept and sobbed when Saul died. Truly, truly, he was sorry that this great man had fallen. And there's a lot to learn from this particular chapter. David remained a covenant man and submitted and submitted to God, because David knew there was a time and a season for everything. And at the appointed time, when he had completed the training, then God would release him to fulfill his destiny. God will not rob you of your destiny. And I would say, let's learn the lessons quickly so that we don't prolong the process, that we can reach that destiny that God has for us. But you know, I loved that Silver Surfers that Andrew sent round last week on Messenger. And I thought, yes, we've got a few Silver Surfers here. And don't think that when you get to your 80s, that if you've not achieved your destiny, it's just not going to happen. Well, let me tell you, it is going to happen. Because when God promises, he sees the full picture. He knows how old you're going to be. He knows every step of the way. And he will fulfill his purpose and his plans for you. So don't ever give up. Don't ever look around and think, well, I'm too old for this now. No, you're not. God renews our youth like the eagles. And if you want a good chapter, read Psalm 90 and read it in the Message. You'll be swinging from the light shades, because God is amazing at renewing us and strengthening us. And look at some of the Old Testament characters who lived to such an old age. Even in the New, we look at Simeon and when he saw Jesus, when he brought him to be baptized and to be given to God, he was an old man, and so was, I've forgotten the name, Hannah. Hannah was well gone in years, but God allowed them to see what they had believed for a long time. So, Jesus, the great example, he knew what it was to submit. Those God calls, he equips, and equipping, as we've said, is a process. And in that process, the key element, I think, is dying to self. Ooh, ouch, what about me, God? But I don't like this. But that's the ultimate goal, I believe. God is saying, you need to be dead to self, and then the devil cannot use a dead man. So we need to be dead to self, and need to be able to see what Jesus said and do what Jesus did. Jesus said, Father, if thou be thou willing, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. If ever there was a covenant statement, it's there. And it's in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Luke 22:42. God takes his servants through fire and water. And it's all about making us sharp and strong and submitting to God. We win when we've been through this process of making us sharp and strong. It's about winning in the heat of battle. And Isaiah 41 and verse 15 says, Behold, I will make you a sharp new threshing instrument, having teeth. I like that. That's stood with me for years, Isaiah 41. God is determined that we will succeed. We just have to join with him and see from the bigger picture, see what God is doing. And just to finalise here, we too have an enemy. It's not Saul, it's the devil. And this enemy seeks to kill, steal and destroy from us. And Satan lost his heavenly position through pride. And now he seeks to kill all humanity. He wants to take as many with him and destroy as many of God's creation as he possibly can. But praise God, Jesus conquered him when he rose from the dead, and he gave the church complete authority over all the works of the devil. Amen. And we need to know who we are. The warfare has changed. David fought physically, but our warfare is spiritual. And we know that because 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's where we need to be, pulling down the strongholds. We're soldiers in a spiritual battle. The only power the devil has is what he can create in you. I'm going to say that again. The devil has no power. Only what he can create in you. If he can create fear in you, if he can create anxiety, panic, stress, jealousy, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, anything negative, he's got power. You've given him power. Don't do it. Behave yourself wisely. If you're struggling with something, give it to God. Surrender it to God and say, God, I don't have the ability to forgive as I need to forgive. I don't have the ability to do what you're asking me to do. Father, give me the power of your Holy Spirit to do it. Do it for me. Show me what to do. Lead me. And God sees your desire and he will answer that prayer. He will give you all divine ability to overcome and be more than a conqueror and see the ploy of the enemy so that you're able to be wise and you're able to conquer what the devil is trying to do. He cannot win against us. He cannot. He can only use us by lying and deceiving. And it's time for the church to wake up. We're in a battle whether we like it or not. So come on, church. Rise up. It's not about having a happy clappy time. And I love a happy clappy time. But, and there is a time for worship, and there is a time for rejoicing, and there is a time for marching in victory. There certainly is, but also there's a time for warfare, because we are truly in a battle. What are the weapons of our warfare? I'm not going through them all tonight, but we'll find them in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. There is the armour of God. And as I read through them yesterday, I was thinking, do you know, all these weapons really boil down to the Word of God. Yeah. Knowing who you are from the Word of God. Using the Word of God as your sword. It's a mighty sharp sword. And I'll tell you this, if you want to get rid of the devil, hit him with the Word of God. Get your sword out and use it. Because he will go running. Because he knows he's going to be cut to pieces. If that word gets a hold of him, he'll not stay in your presence. I was talking to somebody, Michelle popped in yesterday, and she was saying how she'd, and Brenda, they were saying how that, Brenda I think it was, who said she'd had a bad day, until she picked her Bible up. And then she started to feel completely different as she just read the Word of God. There was power. An anointing release. The presence of God came through that word and set the captive free. And she was singing and rejoicing. And bless her, Michelle is learning. She said to me, Grace, I'm reading Romans 8. And God loves me and there's no condemnation. And if God is for me, who can be against me? We need to teach these youngsters and the young Christians and Christians who've been in dead churches all their lives and don't know who they are or what the purpose of us being here is. They need to know who they are, because when you know who you are, the devil has to flee. You don't con me. I'm not having that. It is written. What did Jesus say continually? It is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil left him. We stand in the righteousness of God. The Word of God tells us we're righteous. You need to know you're righteous. Our feet are fitted with the gospel of peace. We always need to be carrying the peace of God with us. And that's a challenge, especially when stuff's going wrong all around you. To hold your peace is what God is wanting us to do, behaving wisely. The shield of faith. Faith comes out. It's created when we hear the Word of God. And it says that shield of faith will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So however many darts, you know, Saul threw two javelins at David, but it didn't faze him. And the devil will throw fiery darts at us, but the sword of the shield of faith will quench them and protect us by faith. We can't please God. We need faith. We need the Word of God. We need to know who we are. We need to know that helmet of salvation. Devil, you cannot attack my mind. You can't lie to me and tell me that God doesn't love me or that this can work against me at that. Or you can't lie to me what you did in the past. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God, I stand. God has given us our spiritual weapons. And we must be trained as to how to use them skillfully so that we can fight the good fight of faith. Don't be under any illusion that we're not in a battle. Paul is constantly referring to it. And I've quoted two or three scriptures there. And I think it's James who said, fight the good fight of faith. We need to know who we are. There is a battle ahead, but we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. James 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and the rest is history. End of. Whatever God says, submit to it. Believe it. Focus on it. Follow it. Do it. And in doing that, you'll resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he's gone. So really, it all boils down to knowing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, having faith in the Word of God, and submitting to the Word of God. And everything else will take its course. You won't have to be fighting the devil. He'll be gone. And that's what Jesus did. It's the end of the story when you get into the Word of God. Because the devil doesn't want to know the truth. He's a liar and he's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. But God said to all of us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I thank God tonight that David is a great example, and God is putting us through process that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. Yes. Let's go for it. We have a great goal to go for and a great victory. Oh, thank God. There's so much that God wants us to harness and take ownership of. And I want to do that. And for us silver surfers, don't you let the devil lie to you that it's not going to happen. That nothing is going to stop us. If God's put us here, if he's given us a destiny, if he's given us a promise, and he has, this place and beyond, we shall see it. Amen. Praise God.